welcome to another edition of LGBT in the Ring, your rainbow bastion for all things pro wrestling. I am your host, Brian Bell, here with you once again, and we have another fun one in store for all of y'all today. Our guest this week, the festive firework Alex Mays. You know him from the Big Gay Brunch. You know him from IWS up in Montreal, in Quebec. You know him from Speedball Mike Bailey's Fightertainment as well. But awesome chance to sit down with Alex and talk all about, you know, his journey that's come full circle in a lot of ways, you know, with starting at IWS, now training others at IWS, along with his success in the pro wrestling space as well. Just a lot of interesting stops along his journey in pro wrestling so far. And was very happy to get the chance to finally sit down and chat with him all about it after crossing paths a couple of times in the last year at various WrestleMania week events. So yeah. Before we get to that though, I do want to express a whole lot of gratitude towards the response to last week's episode with the Oklahomos, as we are now referring to them, talking all about the issues with the Oklahoma State Athletic Commission and that continuing fight over there. It's really cool to see the support continue as they head towards their hearing with the commission in July. And it's also cool to see, you know, AEW doing something positive out of this as well, you know, with the new Nyla Rose t-shirt that's up for sale, with profits going towards Freedom Oklahoma, you know, one of the only statewide LGBTQ plus advocacy organization in the state there. So really awesome to see the commitment to that fight continue, to see the support continue, and hopefully it does not wane as it comes closer to July and beyond, because this I have a feeling this is going to be one of those issues that's going to be, I guess, to use the overused phrase, a marathon rather than a sprint. You know, it's going to take some time to get this changed, more than likely, and, you know, we just got to stay steadfast in trying to enact these kind of changes in this space. So really great to see there. Keep supporting them. We're going to keep supporting them here on this show as well. So, but I think with that being said, let's switch on over to my conversation with Alex Mays. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning into LGBT in the Ring. I'm just going to take a quick break here to let you know ways that you can support the show. And say thank you to some very rad people that help make this show as amazing as it is. First off, if you would like to support the show, we are on Patreon now, patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Multiple tiers there for everyone that feels so moved to support this show. We've got numerous patron benefits over there, including bonus shows that are going to be coming out monthly, roundtable of those sort of things. So definitely go over and check us out. Again, patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Every single dollar that is pledged there to support the show is very, very humbling, and we thank you. We also have a merch store over on Brainbuster Tees. Go to brainbustertees.com and search LGBT in the Ring. We got t-shirts, tank tops, all kinds of good stuff. And, you know, always looking at some new things as well. But definitely check us out on Brainbuster Tees there as well. You can follow the show on social media as well. We're everywhere that we have accounts. We're at LGBT Ring Pod. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, co-host, Mastodon, whatever. We're there. So follow the show there. You can follow me at WonderboyOTM on Twitter and Instagram as well. We also want to give a huge thank you to Sarah and the Safe Word for the show's theme, Formula 666 from the album Red Hot and Holy. You can find them on Twitter at STSWBand, or you can check out their music on both Spotify and Bandcamp. Another great way to support the show is over at independentwrestling.tv. Check out IWTV for the best in current and classic independent pro wrestling, including live events from top independent promotions worldwide. You can use our code LGBTRingPod or visit the URL tinyurl.com/IWTVLGBT. And whenever you, as long as you use that code to open your account and keep that active, we get a kickback from IWTV. So your subscription to watch all the great wrestling that we talk about on this show goes to support the show as well. Thumbs up there. Of course, if you want to read more of my pro wrestling writing, you can check out outsports.com. And if you are into video games, I also co-host a video game news Twitch stream every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's called the Mr. Video Game Super Show. I co-host that with two dear friends and Twitch streamers, Slacker Kite and Lady Merowin. Just run through the week's gaming news, or we throw on a game and play and just have fun and be dumb. It's great. But you can check that out every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at twitch.tv/deadsunentertainment, sun like the star. With that said, let's get back to the show. What's up, guys, gals, and non-binary pals? Welcome back to LGBT in the Ring, and I'm very pleased to have as my guest this week someone who has just been killing it, making a name for himself over in Eastern Canada, and now in the U.S. as well, you know, making stops in Interspecies and the Intergender Bonanza, and of course, the Big Gay Brunch, which we just saw him recently in his second Big Gay Brunch appearance down in Philadelphia. Please welcome the festive firecracker, or the firework. Why did I say firecracker? You can tell I'm from the South. Festive firework. Alex Bays to the show. How are you doing today, Alex?
Hello, everyone. I'm doing great. What about you, Brian?
I'm doing well. I'm doing good. I've been looking forward to the chance to chat with you. Because, like, obviously, we've, like, had a couple of moments over the last, like, year or so where our paths have crossed, and that's been really nice, you know, running into each other at the Out in the Ring screening in LA during Mania weekend, and then this past, like, just a few weeks ago, crossing paths again in Philadelphia after the Big Gay Brunch again, like,
again, so many weekend.
It's always, yes, that's the annual, that's the place where we all congregate, and where I end up, like, running into people for, like, 5 minutes at a time. but no, like, I've been wanting to sit down and chat with you in a bit more longer form, obviously, for a while now, because, like, I think watching you, like, grow in the pro wrestling space since I kind of discovered you, like, in the early days of the pandemic and that sort of thing, has been really interesting to see and to watch your journey and to see all the different places that, not just in terms of, like, promotions that you've gone to, or, like, different, like, countries or provinces or states or anything like that, but just, like, the different styles of wrestling that you've kind of spread out into as well. Like, I didn't expect you to have a no ring match last year. I wouldn't have expected that at all, but it happened.
Yes, it did, more than once. you gotta fit the model and try to switch it up.
Exactly. And I think that's, like, that malleability is something that I really enjoy watching in your work as well. So I'm happy to have you on today. And I guess we can just kind of start, we can start from the beginning, so to speak, like, not the full on beginning of, like wrestling and everything. Cause I know that you've, in, like, past interviews, like, you've talked about, you know, being inspired by some of the smaller guys like Rey Mysterio and as well as the divas like Trish Stratus, you know. I even like you put up a vlog from the Big Gay Brunch last year where I love that you hit the chick kick and you had a nice little hashtag thank you Trish flash on there.
Hey, like, you gotta give thanks to her, and especially it was during the thank you Trish character hero against Nikki Lane, so I had to thank her for it somehow.
Well, of course, you gotta thank your Canadian sister there.
Exactly. Also, like, trailblazer, Canadian at heart.
But, like, obviously, you have all these influences. Like, you're watching wrestling, and then what made you, like, want to pursue like getting in the ring yourself?
Well, let's go back a long time ago.
Okay. I'm here
The
for it.
first I was I was there were three times I was in contact with wrestling when I was I started. First one was in 1992. I was really young, and I remember on Saturday night we were watching Thunder while eating dinner at home. And, like, I was really young, so I don't have much memory. I just remember like staying in the on the in the ceiling and Ric Flair with his green tighty-whities. And then about when I was around 10 years old, my neighbor, Tanya, was a big wrestling fan. And like, I didn't get it. Like, it was like, what's, I didn't really get what was the point of it. I didn't get like the, to understand. But the big moment was in 2002. In 2002, I was flipping through the channels with my sister, and it was a Monday night. And like there was nothing on TV. It was like it was in the summer, so like there's really nothing on TV at that time. And like we fall into wrestling. And like at first you look at it like, what is that? Like what's happening? And then you get into it. You get into the storyline. And then you get into the story of the show. And why are they feuding? And then like, and I remember this show like it. I'm not sure if it was the day before or the week before, but it was like the moment Shawn Michaels got hurt and like disappeared and like we did not know what happened to him. It was Triple H all along. So at the end, like, yes, you start at the back in the day. Back in my old day, it was 2 hours of Raw, not three. So at first, like, oh yes, it's silly, like people fighting. But at the end of the show, it's like, okay, there was a story. Like, I want to know what's happening. Why are they, like, why did this guy got hit by a car? When did, like, what happened? So you tune in the following week, and the following week, and the following week, and then you get hooked. What really, personally, what really hooked me was the storyline between Trish Stratus and Victoria, the crazy bitch Victoria. And like personally, like what really motivated me doing to do wrestling is like you mentioned earlier, like seeing the smaller guys, seeing their Rey Mysterio, the Hurricane, like seeing them like kicking ass and like I'm a smaller frame guy. I'm 5'6" and 150 pounds. Like, no, I cannot be Kane, I cannot be Undertaker, but like I can still do it. And it's the perfect balance between athleticism and drama. Because I was always kind of a, we don't have those kind of program in Quebec, but like I was a kind of a drama kid. Like I did theater, I did improv. So, but there was missing something in, from those, which was the physicality in it. And wrestling was perfect amalgamation of both. I could use my athleticism into it and like use my drama skills, which led me into wanting to do wrestling. It took me a really long time before I joined a wrestling school. Like it was in the back of my mind, like I want to do it, I want to do it. But like when I was doing research online, the schools weren't close to where I live, and it was. And it was pretty expensive. And the moment I told myself like, okay, let's do it, it was when I was 30. All my friends were like getting relationships, having kids, getting married, and blah blah blah. And I was by myself and lonely and kind of missing something in my life. So I was like, okay, you've been like winning for so long. You're a grown adult now. You can do whatever you want. You get money. You get the money to pay for it. Let's go for it. So that's when I joined the Adidas training center.
It's so interesting to hear that, like, you this has been something that's been on your mind for so long, but it didn't take you to till you were like, like you said, you were 30 and you're really in this like place in life where it's just like, I need something to like grasp onto in a way. Like, I don't know, that just like speaks as someone who like kind of is familiar with that, like sort of like holding in place pattern, kind of, so to speak. Like, I that just speaks to me, like that you had the gumption to just be like, no, I'm just gonna go for it now, like I can.
Yeah, well, there's a moment in life you say like, okay, what do I have to lose? Like, I was like, I'm gonna try it. If I don't like it, I would have, at least I'll cross it off my checklist. Like, I've done it. Like, it'll stop to be in the back of my mind, like, and stop being a wish. But now, like, I love it. And like, I saw, like, the moment I stepped in that ring, like, I was home. I knew, like, this was what was missing in my life. I knew, like, that could fill the void that was there. And honestly, like, it's keeping me pretty busy.
I can imagine. Now, like, obviously, like, you spoke about like the wrestling ties to this and like what drew you into it there. I'm curious, is like, I kind of had a feeling you had like a drama or performance background just because like I just got the vibe off like from you. But I'm just like, what drew you to drama and performance initially as well?
I was always that annoying kid that put on shows in school or at camp. I was always like the one that, like, oh, it's that kid. He's gonna do something. He's gonna put on a play. He's gonna put on a show. I like the attention. Hey, I'm the third of three children at home, so like. And the third, like, okay, the other two already walked before. We always seen it. Like, you're craving some attention somewhere. And I knew how to play with, to play around with the, with what, with characters and stuff. And that's what my brought me to drama and like comedy. I love to get attention. It feels terrible to say, but it's true.
I mean, I can understand where that feeling comes from, especially like I'm the same way. Like, I don't necessarily like to like fully outwardly admit sometimes that I like to get attention at times either, but let's just be real. You went into a great area where the for that tool for that need in a way.
Yes.
This is jumping ahead a little bit, but I'm curious. I just since we're talking about like this like mixture of performance and like comedy and pro wrestling and all this other stuff, it just all of this is just like clicking more and more with like the environment that I first saw you in, which was of course the Thursday Night Speedball stuff that y'all did that is now kind of turned itself into this whole ordeal with Fightertainment. That is
Yes.
amazing,
Yes.
chaotic and amazing.
Well, that's the fun of it. Like, it's chaos, it's fun, it can be whatever you want. So that's what they do, and like, as long as everyone has fun, everyone's safe, let's keep doing it.
No, and that's what I love to see about it. But just like, there's just a different sense of creativity that goes into like the stuff that y'all do with Speedball and Beta over there. Like I just perusing like the back catalog of like the some of the Thursday and Friday Night Speedball stuff in the past, like I saw the Hattle Royal, the which I hadn't thought about in like a couple of years at this point. But like it's just like and it's just a match where you are in until you lose your hat and then you're eliminated.
Yes.
Like these sort of things, like these sort of ideas are just, or like even just looking at what happened up in the Philadelphia area a couple weeks ago with the Tournament of Breath, like this idea for
Yes.
a deathmatch tournament that's all inflatable weapons.
Yes, it was like why someone else did not think about it before.
They don't have the minds that this little group has that up there that y'all do.
Also, but also, like, it's Speedball's own platform, so he's in charge of everything. So it's like, let's have some fun. And he's really like helping people. He helped me a lot, like growing and like getting being silly, like accepting what you do and like have fun with it. And that's what he's doing right now with entertainment. Like, he's having fun. Well, I hope. Unless he's a really good actor. Like, it's terrible. Like, no, I'm pretty sure he's having fun, and like that's why he's doing that. That's why, like, let's bring on the inflatables. Like, let's be silly and goofy, and like that's also how wrestling evolves. Because when you bring ideas from out there, like, it's gonna come from somewhere. Like, I'm pretty sure the first time someone brought the idea of a cage master, we're like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Cage master? But now it's like it's common, like it's part of wrestling.
No, I love the outside of the box thinking, obviously. Like I love like the unbridled like creativity that the Fightertainment shows bring to their presentations and that sort of thing. And I speaking to like your background as well, like I can only imagine, like obviously you trained at the IWS Dojo, you had your first match prior to the COVID pandemic, and then that
Yes.
hit. And I guess before I get to my question like about like Speedball and everything like that, like what was that like for you to have like, okay, I got through my training, I got my first match in, I'm feeling pretty good about this, and then just everything shuts down.
Honestly, it was quite a shock. Also, like, having my first match was a shock, because the way it was built in, it was a coach of the dojo and a student against a coach and a student. And in January, in our private group chat, the Manny, PCP Crazy Manny, posted like the two students who puts the most effort for in training and coming to practice and stuff, they'll have their first match on next show. And me and Katrina Creed were the selected ones. And honestly, like, from what I remember from that match, I don't remember much. I remember seeing lights. Seeing, like, and I remember, like, we were supposed to do 6 minutes, and we were went upstage, like, it upstairs, and it was like, you did eight, you did overtime. Like, okay, that wasn't two. For me, it was 2 minutes. But what I feel is, with COVID, it was a blessing in disguise, in my point of view. Because yes, I put a lot of effort. Yes, I won that spot in the match. And yes, I got it. And yes, I wanted it. But I felt unfinished when I had that match. Like, I was ready in a way, but I wasn't ready in the other way. Like, meant physically, I was ready. I could take hits and like bump and stuff, but I wasn't fully realized as myself. Like, I wanted to be on the following show for sure, but like, in what capacity would I've been on the show? That's something to think about. And when COVID hit, I was like, okay. I was annoyed for sure. Especially here, we had like really strict rules, like we couldn't go out past certain times and stuff. But I took it, and like once the moment like we were able to have more practice, I like doubled down into it. Like, okay, last time I felt I wasn't ready, but next time when we're back, I'll be ready. I'll be the first one on that show to be sh I'll make sure that I'm the next one on the show. So I doubled down. Like, I made sure like the following time I was ready. And at that time, like, the we were really lucky that Speedball is now a coach at the IWS Dojo. Like, even better, because now we have like this star that's world travel, that people know, and is so knowledgeable. And like, we still have superstars, Professor H. Shane Hawk, who is so knowledgeable also, but they both have different point of views and different sights on wrestling and where they're coming from. So it brought me to the next level, I feel. So when like in it was the following summer, we had tapings on at the dojo. Like, we had no fans, we only had a ring, and like we were only able to wrestle, like we were only able to touch certain people in within our group. So like it was a group of students, and I made sure like I'm in that group of students.
No, I mean, I'm sure like getting back into the ring, getting back into like a bit more like full force in that way was really gratifying. Like you mentioned, obviously Speedball, but also Hawk. Everything that I've heard, obviously, like I've covered Speedball plenty of time, but the more I've learned about like Hawk, just in like both like researching for this show and like hearing you talk about him, hearing other people coming out of IWS like in that area talk about him, like it seems like he is a very like influential figure in that scene. Like, what would you say were like the most important things that you like learned or like took in from both Speedball and Hawk?
I'd say from Speedball, it's really structure and having like, I don't want to say like repetitive, but like having a good structure in your own move set, a structure in yourself, having a structure in your matches, and really like having an objective in your match. While what I learned mostly from Shane Hawk was more really like how to say this, it's more of, sorry,
No, you're fine.
it's like, I want to say personality, but it's not personality, it's like it's a mindset. Because like Andrew always, sorry, Shane Hawk or Andrew always says, if you're going slow, always go slower. It's really like it's not the basics, but it's really like a mindset and things to remember in a match, and things to remember like that's really applicable everywhere. Like, you have to go slow. You have to make sure that everyone knows, everyone can see what you're doing. Yeah. Sorry. And also, like, Superstar Shane Hawk's really great technician. He's really good with his chain and like really small movements and small intricate details in the ring. Like, it's, and also it's like it's the small details that makes a match even better. So like that's what I feel like I could, and also like Shane Hawk has been there for the past 5 years in my life, and like we became close friends together. Like, I've learned so much from him. And it's tough to pinpoint exactly what I learned, but like every day I'm with him, like I'm learning and I'm growing as a person. Like, that's actually like what I feel like I've learned the most from Shane Hawk, is like growing as a human and growing as a wrestler.
I mean, definitely
You gotta
important
kill me.
lessons. I don't I mean, I don't know him, but like I would hope he wouldn't. Like that's a very like admirable thing that you've just spoken about him, because I feel like, it so much, I feel like some whenever you're in that wrestling bubble, so much can just be focused on like wrestling, as opposed to like
Yes.
the person behind the wrestler. And sometimes that can get lost. And we've seen, the growing conversations around, mental health in the pro wrestling space. We've seen people like take like long breaks or like, kind of losing themselves, like losing a sense of self about themselves and throughout the course of that. Like, and to have somebody that can kind of help build you as a wrestler, but also like kind of keep you grounded in like the reality of like who you are, the person that you are. Like, it just feels like
Exactly.
a vital thing to have.
Yeah, they I need to have a difference between Alex and Alexander. So like there's that step that needs to be followed and like be split up. Like the person in the ring is not the person who I am currently on my couch. So like we're two different people. Like what's happening in the ring is not it is I try not to let it affect me outside the ring, vice versa.
Is that something that you've like had struggles with throughout your time in wrestling?
Well, it depends. It depends. I'll be honest. It depends because, like, I'm losing my hair, and like a couple of weeks ago, I had a show. I was with a kids show, and they kept calling me bald. I was like, dude, yes, I'm losing my hair, but like, don't make it worse.
That's just
Yeah,
mean. That's just mean to point it out.
exactly. Like I am less than 5 years in business, so it's contingent. It call this continual growth, and like continuously like growing and like and learning. Honestly, that's something I've heard before. It's like if you stop learning, get out of the business. Is like if you feel you know everything from now, it's like what are you doing here? Why aren't you doing millions elsewhere? Because you know everything.
No, it's honestly it's one of the truer like sayings I feel like in not just pro wrestling but like in any space really. Like if you feel like you've stopped learning, then like you need to find something else to do because either you're delusional or you're like you've advanced to this higher state of being that you're not gonna find value in this thing anymore. And usually
Yes.
it's the former. But I don't know, like obviously like I discovered you through like the Speedball streams and everything like that, but once IWS and other promotions up in that area started running again, like it just felt like you and Chris Starr together just hit the ground running when once things opened back up. How vital was that time? Obviously you're still training with Speedball and Shane, but how vital was it to have that time like in front of a camera, even if it is just like a Twitch stream, like what Speedball is doing, but have that time in front of a camera, like developing character, like having all these different styles of matches, all these different sort of things that you wouldn't necessarily get in like you're not gonna see like some of the stuff that's on like Fightertainment necessarily in an IWS ring per se, right? It's not, or at least it's not gonna be the same flavor. So
But well, I felt really lucky to have this opportunity with Speedball, because the first Friday Night Speedball we did, like he pitched it to me. It was just like the first Friday Night Speedball match is me against them, and then like shenanigans happened, and then Chris Era versus Speedball, and then Animal the camera Animal versus Speedball. But, like I was the first one. He pitched it to me. Like, you sure? You sure you want me? Like, because he saw, well, I don't know what he saw, but like he saw what I wanted it. Like he saw how much I wanted it. Like I at the dojo, I was the one who was always there. I was the first one in, the last one out. I was like there pulling on the reps and like trying to help as much as I could. Like he saw, he wanted to give me back what I could, and like I'm investing time and money and like and training, like, and also like during COVID, like we were smaller groups and like we weren't allowed to touch much, so he knew, like he knew what he was giving me. He was giving me like the opportunity and the chance. Like we cannot have wrestling shows, but, like, let's make something. We could have some fun, and like let's put you on the platter.
No, and it communicated that too, like those presentations, and like you could see the like the growth over that time to the point that whenever you and Kristara, kind of got back into the fold with IWS when they started running again, like it just felt like the this momentum kept building until y'all win the tag team titles.
Yes.
Obviously that match, huge emotions in the ring for both of y'all. I'm just,
Yes.
what was that moment like for you, and like when did it kind of sink in that, like, this company that I started out with is now like recognizing me in this way?
It was honestly, it was like the following month I started realizing like they're really investing in me because it came from a sh it was a shock. It was a shock for both Chris and I and the crowd. Like the electricity in the air was like it was tactile, like we could touch it, we could feel it. It was really electric, like, and the emotions, they are real emotions. Back then, I still can't really cry on cue, but like there, that was wrong. Like, and it was one a heck of a surprise, and it was like it was magical. Like, and like it was all a blur, but like it was fantastic. Like, we couldn't believe it ourselves. What was happening? Like she came in the ring, like she was surprised as I was. Like I was half crying. The ref was like half lifting my hand, like we won, like, and like if you look down, like in IWS history, we did not win a match together before that. So, but like that was really a surprise and like a really fun surprise. And like it felt like okay, it's not like I'm not wasting my time here, like they are believing me, like they're giving us this opportunity to be champions. And like, and I knew like the following show we were on Fight, we were beginning on starting on Thriller, sorry, now it's Thriller. So it's like we were gonna be like the representation of the tag team champions for the first show on Fight. So like okay, so like yes, sometimes you can feel overseen, like you don't think they notice you, but like having this opportunity and them giving us a tag title, especially since I pinned Shane Hawk, who is one of the promoters, who is also my coach, and like so also like receiving it from him makes it even bigger. It's like it's not someone out of the blue, it's like it's coming from the man directly. Like it's coming from the big guy, and like the following, and like 3 months later I'm facing Manny. So. That was quite an emotional journey.
It certainly sounds like it, in watching those matches back in preparation for this, like it, yeah, it felt like it too, just, I don't know, like there's just something about like seeing that like raw emotion come out after something like that that just gets to you. It just like it speaks to you, it's like it can just, it just permeates you. Like you just feel it in your body. And
Well,
like, I
that's
don't,
what I see.
sorry, go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, that's what I feel. That's what I feel. Why it was so emotional moment, and like why the crowd reacted the way they did. I'm getting emotional right now too. But like they saw how much effort, and like they saw how much we grown from the first match, and like from our beginnings to where we were now. Like the first time I came out to the ring, like the second time, which was like 2 years later, like the crowd did not know who we were. And like the first few times, like we grown with the crowd, and like they got to know us and got to learn about us, and like and see our growth and see our journey with them. Like the moment, like the 1, 2, 3, like what the, like everyone, like were surprised, and like everyone cheered, like that's what it was.
It's like you brought this, the not just yourselves, not just like the locker room, but like the entire like IWS like population on this journey with y'all in a way. Yeah. And see, that's the beautiful thing about pro wrestling. Like, I just love that. Just love it so much. God, so good. God.
Oh,
Well,
yes.
at risk of making you feel more emotional, we should talk about Big Gay Brunch 7. Because obviously, like, that title win, huge moment for y'all last year. And then just a couple months later, you're getting down to Chicago for not just for your debut at the Big Gay Brunch, but you're opening the card alongside Ashton Starr and Finesse. Before we get to the match itself, just talk me through like what you were feeling whenever you got the call to be on Big Gay Brunch.
I was super excited. Like, oh
Yeah.
my God, everything. And then you start thinking, like, things are starting to sink in, like, oh, I need to be careful because I'm Canadian. I don't want to be speedballed. So I don't want to get
Is
like
that a verb for
yeah,
y'all
future.
now? I don't want to be speedballed.
It's just a verb for me. Like, when if I say it like to people who knows about it, like I don't want to get like I don't want to be in this situation that he was, and like think like honestly, like in my opinion, like if it happened to me, like I would have just given up. Like no, he was like, nope, I'm gonna go to England, I'm gonna go to Japan, and like I'm gonna travel, I'm gonna get a name out of myself, so when I'm ready, like everyone will want me.
Exactly.
So let's get back to the gear brush.
Yes.
So the moment like I was like, okay, yes, I finally made it. Like let's be honest, like being part of the gay brunch is on a lot of LGBTQ wrestlers like bucket list, and not a lot of people can get to experience it. Sorry. And it was like it was yes, I did it. Yes. Okay. It's in Chicago. How do I get there? Okay. Oh, I can't drive there. Oh, it's finding solution. And then like, okay, you have to be careful. Okay. Oh, it's expensive. Okay. I have to okay, how many days I have off I can take for vacation. It was really like the moment I got the call, I was super excited. I was really like willing and thrilling and thrilled and like, let's do it, let's go, let's do everything. And then I was like, okay, let's think in, let's figure out how we're gonna get there.
It's like putting the rational mind ahead of like the emotional mind at that point. Keeping them in like the right place. Like, you know, like this excitement, and this like huge moment, but also like I need to figure out how to get to Chicago.
Yes, pretty much. It's well, yes, it's like, okay, let's get excited. Yes. And then, okay, I need to be rational. Think about how do I do it? Okay, I use Expedia. Okay, good. I got a hotel. I got flights. Okay, good. Now let's get back to being excited. I need new gear. I need something that makes me stand out. I need I look for new gear like. The girl I reached out to, like, she was a joy to work with. Like, it was pretty done quick, but sometimes when you're reaching out to designers, like, they're not as you wish they are, but, like, she was, thank God. But, like, you wanted something that stands out. You want to look out for everyone.
For sure, especially when you're going on a card that is just so like proliferated with looks and all these amazing gear designs and stuff like that. You always want to find something that stands out.
Exactly. You don't want to be, oh, the guy in black shorts, like everyone else. And especially like for a crowd that sees you for the first time, like, who are you? Like, especially like I was in my city, I was in my own country. Like I was in Chicago, it was like 12 hours from where I live. So it was like, and you step out, like, make them know, like, cheer for me, please cheer for me, like, who am I, just from the first step out the curtain.
What was that experience like for you as like, you know, obviously this is your debut on the Big Gay Brunch, and we've seen plenty of debuts on the Big Gay Brunch, but you know, expressing like what you're feeling about like, you know, being so far from like your home base and, you know, really at that point, like you had really mainly just worked in like in Quebec, right?
Yes, pretty
And
much.
yeah, so like busting out onto like this larger stage like that. And even with the Big Gay Brunch crowds, I feel like the Big Gay Brunch crowds are like they're up and excited for people, even if they don't necessarily automatically know who they are most of the time, just because of the environment that the Big Gay Brunch creates. But like, what was it like for you whenever you did come out of the curtain and kind of got to experience that Big Gay Brunch crowd for the first time?
Well, it was exhilarating, exhilarating. It was like, let's do it. The moment like my music starting, it started playing like, okay, it's my time. It's my time to shine. Like you've been in training for a couple of years now. That's something you've been wanting ever since you knew about it. So go out there and do the best you can and do something that will make them remember you. And like stand out from the crowd and stand out from everyone else on the card. Make sure like they made you remember you. And personally, like being the first on the card, which is even better, like we're setting the tone of the show. Like we're there to set the tone, like we're here, here's what's gonna happen, here's what you need to go over and like make sure we are better than this. And I feel like our match with my match with Ashton Finesse was well built, and like everyone had their moments and everyone had their time to shine and their time to like get with the crowd and the crowd to get to know them.
No, I got that feeling too. And like it was like it was the perfect kind of like structure to a triple threat that you can have, really, where like everybody gets a chance to kind of, you know, have a moment to shine and show what they can do and create something that they can like leave an impression on people, while at the same time like all three all working together, and the various like the creativity and some of the spots that y'all came up with for the for that was really, really cool. And then of course like the finish. I know, as again, I saw your blog post, Big Gay Brunch 7, and I know that double sharpshooter wasn't fun per se, but it certainly has a look to it, though, I will say.
Yes. And I gotta give my props to Ashton. Ashton gave Finesse and I like he told us like this is your stage. Like this is my debut and Finesse debut. Like he was at other Big Gay Brunch before. Like he gave us the chance, like what do you wanna do? What do you wanna tell the crowd? Like this is your stage. Let's work around your stuff. And yes, the double sharpshooter wasn't fun, but part of the show. I gotta say, I did not tap out. It was Finesse who tapped out.
How important is it to have like someone like Ashton in that specific position where it's like you have two people debuting on the show on this one, and he's just automatically is there's this openness of being like, okay, no, like we're gonna show y'all off. Like how important is that, or was that to you in that moment?
Honestly, before coming, I whenever I go to a new place, especially when I have people with more experience than me in the ring, I'm following. Like I'll pitch in my ideas, but like I'll listen to you. But and like I did not come with any ideas in mind. Well, I came with my ideas, but like I did not come with anything in mind really preconceptualized. Or like this is how we're gonna do it. Like I'm in charge. I really came like I'll follow the leader and like I'll have some fun. And like that's the most important part of it. Like let's have some fun. And being there, like, unfortunately, Dylan was it couldn't be there. It was supposed to be a tag team match at first,
Yes, I
and then
remember
like
that.
didn't couldn't make it. So we made a triple threat, and like Ashton gave us the opportunity to shine for both of us, and like we had some fun. And like I speak sometimes back with Vanessa, like we had some fun, and like we had great time over there, and like it felt even more comfortable. And I was a bit lucky because my friend Lefisto was on the card too. So I was like, okay, there's my security blanket close by.
I'm sure that definitely helped, like with some of the like the comfort level and some of the like kind of the nerves and everything a bit.
Well, especially like you're in a new city, you're all by yourself, like on a new show where you like you know Effie, but like he's running everything, everyone knows him, but you don't want to bother him. It's like okay, at least Lefisto's there. Like I know Lefisto, she's gonna make me comfortable. And yes, I there were a lot of people from GCW who were there at IWS in March of 2023, where it was a big IWS versus GCW show. So a lot of them were there, but still I'm not, I wasn't that close with them.
Yeah.
Like I know Ali Kazer, but like I'm not gonna, like we're not that close of friends yet. Yes,
Yes.
let's say
Yes.
yet.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I mean, let's face it, like you got a track record now because you've been on the second one. You went to
Yes.
obviously in Philadelphia, part of Team Pollo there in the 5-on-5 match there.
I gotta say, I'm not lucky in the States. I still haven't won a match in the States yet.
It's only a matter of time, Alex. It's only a matter
It's
of
gonna
time.
happen.
Exactly.
It's
You just gotta think positive on this.
gonna happen.
But what was it like for you to get the call back though? To like be like, hey, like we want you back on the Big Gay Brunch. Like what did that communicate to you?
It felt like I delivered the first time. It felt like, okay, I did, because yes, you do it once and then like it becomes a drug. So like, okay, I want to go back. When do we go back, Marty? And like you have to go through pretty much everyone. So like you have to go through a lot of people. It's like, okay, you want me back? Like, okay, I did well. Like, I'm happy. Like, let's do it. Like, if a 5-on-5, perfect. I don't mind. I don't care. Let's have some fun. Like I'm gonna bring everything I have. I'm gonna come, no matter how way I figure out. Like I'm gonna be there. I'm just gonna learn from the mistakes from the last time. Because I gotta say, I went to Chicago. My hotel was an hour away from the airport, and my hotel was an hour away from the venue.
Oof.
Like ooh, like and it, I was using Uber. So like ooh, it's expensive.
Yeah.
So I make sure, like, this time Philly, I'll make sure everything's closer.
Yes.
Yeah,
I could definitely understand that pain. I've been there before.
live and you learn, and you learn from your mistakes.
Exactly. That's all you can do. What was different for you this time, the second time around at Big Gay Brunch? Or was there anything different? Like what stood out to you this time?
Well, now it felt even bigger because this was the WrestleMania weekend, Big Gay Brunch. So it was like, this is the one, like I felt like this is the Olympics. Like this is the one that everyone wants to go to. So it felt like, okay, like I'm on the big one, like the biggest one of the year. It felt like even bigger. And I'm in a match where it's like, there's a rivalry already. It's like okay, there's things happening around me. Like just not just a match. Like there's something going on. So like it makes me hopeful for the future, hopefully.
Now, obviously, Pollo is a very good friend of the show.
I love Boyo.
Oh yeah, who doesn't love Pollo? Pollo is amazing. Pollo is great. How was she as a team leader? I have to ask.
Well, she knew that she wasn't a wrestler, So she knew that the wrestlers were, well, everyone else in the team knew what they were doing. But sometimes, like, you don't have, sometimes you put your trust in the wrong person. I'm Dylan. Damn you, Dylan. Because, like, we were, Poyo knew that Vert was wonderful and could lead the team. Like, everyone else could follow, and we were able to have a good chemistry as a group, and a good group chemistry and good group like interactions. Like we felt like we were a team, even though most of us was the first time we're interacting together. Like we felt like a team going out there. Like I feel like also like being part of Poyo made us feel part of the team.
Yeah. She has a pretty good ability about doing that. So I'm not
Yes.
surprised. I'm not surprised. Another one really interesting aspect about that match in particular that stood out to me. Well, two things that stood out to me that I wanted to ask you about. One, obviously, like, it was a great moment for you to be back on the Big Gay Brunch, but to be in a match sharing that stage with someone else who has been like pretty like heavy involved with like Fightertainment and some of the, you know, the Quebec wrestling scene as well, and Junie Underwood getting, you know, making his debut at the Big Gay Brunch. How special was that moment for you? Like, just, you know, being able to share a ring with another person who's like been through all of these different like levels of and different kinds of stuff that you've been through, and to see like him get that spot too.
Well, I met Judy the week before.
Oh, really?
There was a fight in Entertainment and Crossbody Crossover in Cambridge, online,
Okay.
and Judy was on it. And this was a Saturday, and the Sunday I was setting up a show with my students at the IWS Dojo, and Judy was part of it. He beat some of my students on his birthday. So I was like, oh my, but like sharing also the history, like he came doing the Fightertainment and like he was trained by Witch Speedball. Like it felt like I heard him like planning the match with the students with Bryce Alexander in Talmy in summertime Talley, California. Let's plug the students.
Yes, definitely.
And the way he was talking and building his stuff, like it felt like okay. Like I spoke with my students, like you see, like it's not just me. He was trained by Speedball too. Like we're not crazy. We're both and the same when I was in Cambridge, like seeing him, like the way he operates, like it was really like okay, this is something I know. Like it felt familiar. Like this is Speedball.
Yep. That's interesting. I didn't realize that y'all had only met like a week or so before. Because I watched that crossbody show whenever y'all did it, and like it just, I don't know, for some reason I thought that like y'all's paths had crossed already on there. But yeah, no, that's wild. It's so amazing to see like just how like in sync you can get though with people just based off of like, you know, where their foundation comes from in that way. Okay, so second thing I have to ask you about that match. What were you thinking when Pero was climbing to the top rope?
A lot of Quebec words came in my mind.
Yep.
A lot of church words. Like, I'm gonna die. Let's hope he misses. Maybe the rope is not that. Maybe the rope isn't that solid as it looks. Maybe you pray for some bad thing, but we survived. We did.
Yes.
We all did, I think. I did not see
No. Thankfully,
blood.
no.
Yes.
Went off without a hitch. I don't know. Like that match was just a whole lot of fun with all like and another like wonderfully structured match as well. Like everybody getting their moments to shine there, yes. And like these huge, like I think the gif of Vert Vixen suplexing Pero is just gonna live on the internet for years to come. Honestly,
yes, yes. It felt and like all of us around it, like you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Like see her like boom, like ah, we. I still don't understand how we kicked out.
Pero's tough. What can you say?
Yes, we should. I think like we should have. I'll settle him. Maybe that could have worked.
That could have worked. That could have worked. Gain cover. I'm into it. So, obviously, as we sort of kind of wind down here, there's a couple more things I wanted to ask you about, Alex. Because, like, one thing that I've noticed a lot in conversations on this show is a lot of people in wrestling have these full circle moments and throughout their career. And I can't help but notice, like, the one that kind of speaks to me from, like, what you're doing. Because now you are training students at the IWS dojo. Yes. So yeah. You've like completely you've done the whole 360 at this point too. What made you want to kind of step into that role?
It was, well, I was the one who was always there during practice, and I was always lending a hand, and like I was the first assistant of the teacher. Like whenever they need someone to do examples on, like, here's this new submission. Here's the new submission. I'm gonna put Alex in. And once people left to go to TNA and left for the States to get married with Ada, it came to Shane Hall to be a teacher for the whole week. We have classes. Now we have four classes a week, but before it was three. It was doing Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, and booking the IWS shows. So he had a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
And he, like, he's a close friend of mine. Like, I was seeing him. Like, he was getting tired. And it was, like, it was draining him. And, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to try. He offered it, like, several times to everyone, like, if you want to try it, he try like to get people to grab a hold on and like bite and like I bit, and like he was like, if you want to try to coach. And one time I remember we had a class and it was someone else who was teaching because like it was replacement, and like everyone wasn't happy. A lot of people weren't happy after the practice because the replacement wasn't satisfying. So like I went to Andrew like, do you think I can try teaching? Like, first I'm gonna try. And then it became a regular thing. So I'm teaching Tuesday's class. And then my friend Nathan Yarmovich is now teaching the new Monday class. So like it gives Andrew a break. It gives him more time to plan the IWS shows and release a little bit of stress. And like, and you speak about the full circle movement earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And to the day, it was in January, January of 2020, Speedball was doing what he calls the mock shows. It was shows with students for students. And the IWS photograph, Zach Yarmovich, the brother of the other one, he posted a picture earlier this year, like, oh, this is the first mock show. And to the date, I was pulling my first mock show with my own student. The date of.
I love it.
And like the next day, Zach posted a picture like, look at this guy. 4 years ago, it was my first match. And like 4 years later, I'm leading them. it was like, I'm tearing right now, so like look how much growth I have. Because I gotta say, like, learning and teaching is quite different. Because like, what works for you doesn't necessarily works for the other. So you gotta explain it in different ways and like see it from the other's perspective. And now, like, now I'm a teacher. I'm even like, we have regular shows at the dojo, which is now available on YouTube, on my own YouTube, IWS New Blood. I just posted the first four matches. The Junior Underwood match is available since today. But yes, it was, it's a lot of growth. And like, when you're teaching, it's, you're still learning. You're learning on how to explain things. You're learning how to put yourself in the other's shoes. And now I can like come to matches and explain things differently. Like, remember when we had the 5-on-5 at the Big Gay Brunch? I gave a Mahishal bomb to Nakut. And the Mahishal bomb is not a regular bomb. So it like, I made sure like to go over it with them, like, here's how I'm gonna go, and here's how you take the bomb. So that way there's no bad surprise. You don't land on me. You don't gotta say like, if you don't explain it well, like, I got someone who landed on my nose. I don't know how, but he landed on my nose once. So it's really important like to explain everything, make sure like the details and like team perspective with everyone. And now like being a coach, it makes me, and also like seeing them like grow. Like, I made a TikTok recently about this. Like, it's, of course I'm a teacher. I'm there to do, Joe. I'll be taking your new move. Of course, I'll be driving you home after a show. And the last one is, of course, I'm gonna cry during your first match.
These are just the things that are going to happen. You just need to expect them to
Yes.
happen.
Exactly. Well, I'm proud of them. Like, some of them, I've seen them like from where they were and where they are now, like how much growth they had and how much change they had. Like, my friend Sam Kelly, I wasn't trained the whole way through with her because she started training before I was a trainer. But like, I saw her grow from the beginning, and like, I seen her, and now I see her, and I'm so proud of her, and like, she's so good. And like, seeing everyone like evolve from their shy little person, like, am I stepping in? Like, I don't want to be here, into now being like, I'm dancing in the ring, and like, I don't care.
Do you see like your experience in them, like what you're doing with them now, like seeing like that growth that you're talking about, this like breaking of like the shells and like just seeing them like be more comfortable with themselves and flourish in this way. Like, how much of that like do you reflect on with your own journey so far?
That's a question I never asked myself. But it's true. I did went through the same steps I did as they did. Like, being there like in your own corner, like, I'm shy and I want to be here. Like, this is something I'm proud of making. Like, when someone joins the dojo, like, I'm the first one, hey, hi. Make them comfortable, like getting to know them, like, because I feel like this is the first thing that everyone is scared of, like, oh, are people gonna judge me? Like everyone started somewhere, and like, and I just like, you're wrestling for a reason. You want to have some fun? Let's have some fun. Let's break that shell. Like, let's have some fun. Yes, there are some things you can do. There are some things I can do better. Who cares? That's not the important part. The important part is that you have fun, that you're giving your all, and you keep going.
Nah, perfect words to take hold to and to live by right there. I love it. Well, Alex, I like to end shows on fun ones when I can, and I don't know how fun this is going to be for you, but it's an interesting one to me. What is this beef with you and tables? Like, why won't the tables work with you?
I gotta say, it's that one table that did not break four times. It's the same table.
Wait, so hold on. So, okay, because I've seen, obviously, for reference here, go check out the no ring match that Alex had with, oh God, why is his name escaping me? Matt Viviani.
Viviani.
Yeah, Matt Viviani at IWS last year, where there's this table set up, and try as y'all might, like, that thing just will not break. But I saw, like, other clips from some other events where the tables didn't work with you either. Like, you just, like, bounced off of them. Was that the same table from that venue?
It was the same table.
Okay, this table's got a vendetta, apparently.
Yes, I honestly, like, I've got something against that table, but like a lot of people have something against that table. The current IWS champion tried to put someone through it. It didn't break. Like, a lot of people tried to put someone through it and did not break. Like, BCB Crazy Manny tried to put me through that three times through it, and it did not break.
God.
Like, it's what do they say? It's an immovable,
It's an immovable object.
the yes. So
Oh,
like,
the irresistible
nothing.
force meets the immovable object. That
Exactly. It's like, we're too strong. Both of us are too strong for each other. The table and
And
I, like, we're resisting each other.
that's very true. I mean, the table didn't break you either. So,
No,
yeah.
no.
At some
It did
point,
not break my spirit.
no, hell no. Has somebody actually gone through that table yet? Or is it still around?
I think the foot broke.
Oh.
So technically it's broken, but like it's just a foot.
God. Of course it would be the foot that would break. It wouldn't be the actual part that's supposed to.
Nope. And I think like it broke like during while we were bringing it to a show or something. Like, of course it fits
Course.
the moment it breaks. Of course.
Well, if it has a broken foot, like, maybe I just feel like there's, like, this, after watching so many clips of you just, like, bouncing off of this table, and now learning that it was the same table in multiple venues, like, I don't know, it just feels like there's a rivalry here now.
I feel it should the table should challenge Matt Viviani for the Canadian Championship.
Hey,
Like,
I'm here for it.
the table would win. Me too.
Table, yes. Yes. Look, if Chiton can wrestle, and if Yoshihiko can wrestle, that table can fuck. If a ladder can be a former DDT Iron Man heavyweight champion, then this table can fucking challenge for the IWS Canadian Championship.
Yes, the same rights as everyone.
Exactly. It's wrestling, damn it. We can make it work.
It's part of the show now. It's
Yes.
part of the legend.
Alex, this has been a whole lot of fun and really, really great. A really awesome, like, heartfelt conversation, and I'm really happy that we were able to have the chance to sit down and have it finally.
Thank you for having me.
No, of course, of course. Let everybody know where they can find you online.
Well, you can find me. You can find me at the dentist next week, because I've got some stitches to get removed. Gotta say, you're lucky. This morning, I got a surgery in my mouth. This
Oh,
morning, I was
Lord.
like, but now I'm all
Good.
good. Also, like, this week, I'm at IWS New Blood Volume 3, which will be available on YouTube very very soon once I've edited everything on the show. May 4th, I'll be at IWS Praise the Violence in a six-person tag team match. I'm teaming with the new Casanova Productions against Dojo Rock. The following week, I'm in NCW, which is also available on YouTube, in Sainte-Thérèse in Quebec. The 11, no, not the 11, the 7, the 9, no, the 17, I'll be, yes, on May 17, we have a friend of mine is doing a show in Quebec City against homophobia and transphobia, because
Awesome.
it's the day for homophobia and transphobia against it. And I'll be in Quebec City the following week also. So in the next couple of weeks, always follow me at the Alex Mays on every platform, on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. You can find everything Alex Mays over there.
Awesome. Thank you again, Alex.
Thank you, Brian.
My thanks once again to Alex for taking the time to come on the show and chat all about his pro wrestling journey, as well as his burgeoning rivalry with that one table. We're going to get that leg fixed so that that table can finally get its due, damn it. But yeah, it was really awesome there. Really enjoyed it. Hope y'all did too. That's going to do it for us this week. But before we go, we do always have to shout out our lovelies over on patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. If you want to join the roster of lovelies over there, you can subscribe at the $3 tier and have your name counted among those ranks on every episode of this show, alongside people like Val Capone, Jerry Legend, Alex E., and Zach Walker. Also at the $5 tier, you get all of our bonus shows, which we just finished recording. The April show, I know it's May 2nd, but we finished recording the April show. We're getting back on our timetable here, and it's the first leg of our three-part journey towards 6394. This month, we are chatting about the October 9th, 2000 match between Toshiaki Kawada and Kensuke Sasaki, alongside Akira Kurosawa's famed, beloved, and just mesmerizing film Throne of Blood. So just, it was a really awesome conversation that should be going up on the Patreon this weekend. So keep your eyes out for that as well. So yeah, but subscribe at the $5 tier. You unlock all of the bonus shows that we've done so far. We're coming up on 1 year of doing those. So there's a nice little library there for anyone that wants to peruse it and explore it and whatnot. So definitely head over to patreon.com/LGBTRingPod if you feel so moved. Obviously, financial support isn't always feasible for everyone. I understand this completely. Spreading word about the show, you know, word of mouth, rating and reviewing on your podcast platform of choice, telling your friends, telling your queer friends who might be into wrestling about the show as well. Anything like that is always helpful, and we can't thank y'all enough for sticking with us and to continue to support us. As we come up on 250 episodes, these big milestone numbers just sneak up on me every time, and I never have anything fully, like, 100% planned as I creep up. So I don't know if we'll have a special episode. You can't see the air quotes I'm making. A special episode for 250, but we're going to keep doing what we do here on the show all throughout that and beyond. So thank you for coming on this journey with us. But we will see y'all next week with another awesome guest. But until then, y'all stay messy, wash your hands, wear your mask, get vaccinated and boosted if at all possible. Same goes for monkeypox. And happy birthday, Val Pancakes. And happy birthday, Sandra Moon. Everybody's ready to die. Bye.